Welcome to the Successful Encore Career Podcast, a podcast from Employment for Seniors. This episode is being brought to you by Central Ohio Area Agency on Aging, Nationwide Insurance, and Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. Hi, I'm Brett Johnson, your co-host for the Successful Encore Career Podcast. And in this episode, we are going to be featuring the franchise educator, Talanda Sederi. And what we want to do is go over some options as a mature worker, a mature adult, of how franchises could be a part of your next career step. And the only way to find that out is to really find that, talk to a franchise educator. And that is what Talanda has set herself up to be and is doing a fantastic job. In fact, I wanted to read a recommendation she has on LinkedIn before we get into the interview. It says, Talanda is a fabulous resource for someone exploring business ownership. With so many different types of franchises available today, it's challenging for most to navigate through the due diligence process on their own. Having a knowledgeable professional who has years of franchise experience providing guidance is vitally important. I highly recommend Talanda to anyone seriously considering owning a franchise. Well, with that type of intro, I want to welcome Talanda to the podcast. Talanda, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How are you?
Doing great. Now, you know, I wanted to ask you, I think the first question right out of the box ought to be, what is a franchise? I think our listeners probably have their own idea of what it is, but I think Let's go over the nuts and bolts of what is a franchise?
Well, that's a great question. And I think, you know, everyone has a definite idea of a brand in their head. At least most clients that I talk to, I think the first thing that comes to mind is McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and it's usually food. But a franchise really can be most any business. It allows the business to grow and scale with using funds from franchisees so that they can also have a part in the play of ownership. It is a structured system, a license that allows to have access to their proprietary knowledge, the systems and processes and procedures and trademarks, so that the franchisee can be more successful and sell that product or service under that business name. So it's allowing that franchisee to have rights under the successful business model.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of the big name franchises. I mean, what other business categories can franchises include?
Oh, so many. I think the first one was always food. The second is always fitness. And before I go into some of the other industries, I have a little quote that was said to me years and years ago, but I use it all the time, is if you've heard of it, it's either taken or it's crazy expensive. So there are thousands of different franchise options out there. So as I noted, food and fitness, the two F's of franchising certainly come to mind first and foremost for most people. We get into senior care. I mean, obviously with the aging population, that one is growing. There's many options in there. Pets are another industry that's also an essential business as is senior care. Cleaning, residential cleaning, business-to-business cleaning, automotive, medical. We're starting to see some medical ones come about. There's not too many, but there are. Home services, pest control, locksmith, painting, carpet cleaning, flooring. There's so many within that. Moving companies, employment services. That's another one I'm getting a lot of questions about. Junk removal, packing and shipping, disaster recovery. There's a huge one. I mean, a lot of these ones that I'm mentioning are not very sexy. They don't come to mind, top of mind for most people. But disaster recovery, that is a needed business. Mold, water, fire damage, storm damage, all that remediation insurance work. So there's so many different industries out there that really people can take a look at.
Right. You just mentioned you've had some inquiries about certain franchise categories. What do you think about coming out of the COVID-19, the opportunities for franchises? Are there going to be some that kind of come to the top a little bit quicker because of what we're walking out of?
Yeah. And we are noticing that. So with people experiencing everything that's going on in the world right now, Obviously, you know, everyone's pivoting, but people are pivoting differently. And I'm noticing people in the 50, 55 plus age bracket are taking a longer, harder look at, is this, you know, am I being laid off? What's happening with the company structure? How's it changing? And, you know, do I want to still work for somebody else? You know, one of the biggest comments that I get from people is, I want to do this work for myself. I'm putting money in somebody else's pocket. So, you know, the clients that I have that are in the 50 plus age range now have the net worth and the freedom to make more of that independent choice. So I'm seeing clients come to our firm and to me about questions with, what is an option for me? And that's when we start working with them to understand, okay, what are your goals? Do you want to work full-time? Do you want to work part-time? There's owner-operator systems out there where you are buying yourself a job. You need to be there. There's semi-absentee options where you have a manager in place. And sometimes the owner-operator ones can, you know, after a few years, become more semi-absentee. But the biggest question I have for people is, think about how much time and money. What's more important? What do you have more of? And sometimes it's a 49-51 split. But, you know, thinking about what do you want? What are your goals with owning a business? Where do you want to get to in the next 3 to 5 years? And that's where we start the planning process.
Yeah. Well, what skills do you see are a common piece to a franchise owner to be successful?
No. And that's a really good question. So before I answer the list of skills, I really encourage people to keep more of an open perspective when thinking about franchising.
Okay.
If you were to start your own business, then you're going to be thinking about what your passion is, kind of like how I said with my photography. So then you're going to be starting something from the ground up, something that's familiar to you. That's more of your wheelhouse. Franchising opens up a whole set of options in industries that you personally may not know anything about, but you have the skill sets to operate a business. And so what franchisors are really looking for are people who have business experience, who know how to manage people. So they're familiar with P&Ls, balance sheets, operations, managing a team of people, because everything else with the franchise will be taught. And not that they need to know it. This is why C-level executives own Supercuts or Great Clips. You know, they don't know anything about cutting hair, but they have a manager in place who does. And so the skill sets really are business ownership and managing people. And then, of course, you know, a passion for wanting to own a business.
Okay. That answers that really well, because I always thought about, you know, walking into a franchise owner probably had some skin in the game that they, as you mentioned, a salon, that they were maybe a hairdresser, they have this love for looks, and that's why they wanted to get into it. But more of it should be really more considering, I want to be a business owner. I don't know anything about restoration of homes from water damage, but I think it's a great category to be into because it makes sense right now. That's really kind of the way to look at it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think this is a good option? You mentioned a few things prior, you know, about in regards to, you know, having a bit more money in the bank, your build up of skills because you're an adult over 50. I mean, what are some other things that come to mind in your experience too, working with adults over 50, that this has really worked for them?
Well, some other things that have worked for them is, you know, this is some of the things that we walk through in our process, is really kind of stepping back, thinking about who you are, what you want, where you want to go. And that sort of opens up their thinking in where they want to go forward. And then it kind of opens their mind to think, okay, I was thinking food was an option, but now maybe I can do something else. So they're learning a little bit about themselves, a direction to go in. And then once they start talking to franchisors, I think they're either pleasantly surprised with ones that they didn't think they were going to like, because they're really liking the people that are running it at corporate, or they really like the business model and they can see themselves in something that they never thought they could see themselves owning. Or the ones that they thought they were going to like, it didn't at all. It really didn't have the structure, the business model sets to it that really spoke to them. So I think it really kind of surprises people when they start looking at franchise as an option. That doesn't necessarily mean that they end up purchasing a franchise, but I think they do learn a little bit about themselves and things that we look at. We do a Myers-Briggs personality test. That is something that we look at so that we can make sure we match them up with the right concepts. Some of them are surprised by their answers. Some of them say, oh my gosh, I've gotten the same 4-letter score for years. So it's kind of different, you know, interesting to work with all the different clients and what they're looking to do.
Yeah, I love hearing you talking about that. It can be kind of a longer process. It's really a decision process. It's you're not going to be making a choice in 30 days, and you're not going to push them to making a choice in 30 days. It really is. You're looking at this long term. It's a new career position, but there are a lot of other pieces to this puzzle that aren't in consideration. It's not just you wanting to buy the franchise, but it's also the franchise or saying, yeah, you're cool. I like you. I want you to have that in that market.
You know, you just tapped into something that is huge that I really like to lay down on the table from the beginning, is the idea that you're being awarded a franchise. I think a lot of people come in with the idea that, hey, I have this big net worth. I'm going to choose which franchise I want. And it doesn't take into the thought that maybe the franchisor doesn't think you're a good fit. It is a two-way street. And so really what I like to tell people is that no decisions are being made. We're simply looking. We're simply educating ourselves on the business model. And I think that removes some pressure. I usually like to make a funny comparison, add a little comedy to it. I think that relaxes people a little bit into thinking a little differently, you know, take some of the pressure off. But if you think of it like dating, then it's everyone, we're just casually dating. You're just casually dating the franchise system. No one is serious. You're not, they're not. And so you could be dating a few different franchisor systems and learning about their business model. And here's another key point is that it's not my place, nor am I legally allowed, or any franchise consultant. We are not allowed to go through all of the details of the business model with the client. That is the franchisor's job. So that is why we are the matchmakers. We help people understand. We take a lot of the time and the research out of their hands, and we do it. So we're like executive headhunters. And then we will present to them based upon their skill sets, their interest level, their net worth, how much they're comfortable investing, their goals, and of course their geographic territory, what is available to them. And we will match them up, have them choose the ones they want to start speaking with, and they can begin investigating. No decisions are being made. Everyone's casually dating, but this is the only way to learn about this business. And then the franchisor will start informing them about all of those details people want to know about. And you're not wasting anybody's time by doing that. And that's why I use the casually dating, you know, perspective. So you're learning about marketing, you're learning about how much the all-in is, how much you can make, how much the IT is, how much the royalties are, any real estate, how they go about real estate and finding the right location, and on the demographics and how you choose it from there. So that's some of the biggest thing is that process. And that's another thing that I like to tell people, that process that I'm trying to have you do with the franchisor in the beginning is telling the franchisor if you can go through a process. Because if you can't do it in the interview stage, you may not be able to do it in the business owner stage. And so that will tell them if they want to offer you a franchise.
Well, it sounds like you have the best interests of both parties in mind, the person that's looking to be awarded a franchise as well as a franchisor. If you don't, you really can't succeed either right. By, you know, continuing on with what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I like to tell people, since I've been on their side of the phone call at that point, you know, I've been in their shoes. I'm not trying to pressure anybody, but I will be very transparent with them. I will ask them a few challenging questions. It's almost, you know, instead of encouraging them to buy the franchise, it's almost making sure you sure you want to do this, because here's the pros and cons. Here's what's going to happen. And if they keep passing through and understanding that, yes, I want to do this, yes, this is a good fit, then they won't look back and have any regrets on that.
Well, how long can that process take to purchase a franchise? From the first investigative, hey, I have an interest in it.
Right.
Can we talk a little bit more to signing on the dotted line? I know there's no timetable necessarily, but what on average, can it be a year, year and a half to go through this process?
Average? So here's the short answer, and then I'll give the long answer. The average, I would say, is about 3 to 4 months. Some people come in, they're so fed up with their job, or they absolutely know that they want to begin the plan B. And it could take 10 to 12 weeks. Maybe someone investigated a franchise 3 years prior. They know, you know, they know the setup, they know the steps, and so it takes them less time. Other people, you know, sometimes there's little hiccups that happen along the way, something with a job, maybe they got a surprise promotion. Maybe they got laid off quicker and they want to up the speed of the timeline. But, you know, some people can take 6 months. Some people start investigating, they're talking with franchisors, and then unfortunately something happens either with, someone, a family member or a family situation, and they need to put the whole thing on hold. And I say all this because it's different for everybody. Everyone's reasons are different for investigating, but that, you know, I like to keep coming back to the idea that just because you're speaking with a franchisor doesn't mean you're serious. It can be put on pause at any point. You can also say to them, you know what, I've done 3 calls with you. I have enough information. I don't think this is the right fit for me. Thank you, but no thank you. And of course, the franchisor can say the same thing. So it's all just, a learning process along the way to find the right one. It's all filtering.
Gotcha. Well, you mentioned a couple of terms earlier, and I think before I get to another question, I think this might help lead into it. The semi-absentee and the owner-operator. Can you go a little bit more in depth in regards to what that entails? And I think it's eye-opening to how you can approach this whole process too.
Sure. So the semi-absentee and owner-operator are the 2 most popular ownership options of a franchisee. Some bigger ones are a master or an area developer. I'll speak on those briefly, and then I'll go into the semi-absentee owner-operator. But an area developer really gets into, if you have the ability, from a financial standpoint, you're pre-buying the rights to an area. So, you know, let's take Chicago for a moment. You could pre-buy the rights to the northern side of Chicago, and then any franchisee that comes in there, you share in the royalties with a franchisor. So that does take a significant amount of net worth and capital for someone to be able to do that, but it also allows you to build wealth quicker. As semi-absentee or owner-operator, those are the 2 most popular ones. Owner-operator typically is service businesses, business to business or business to consumer. You are going to be in the office every day. The franchisor expects you to run the business. You can have managers and obviously employees, but you are the main go-to person on a daily basis. A semi-absentee allows you to own a business, but you're going to have managers in place. Typically, semi-absentee is brick and mortar. So you're looking at more fitness, retail type of stuff. And then semi-absentee, you can have a general manager in place that then deals with the day-to-day issues and problems. You're still involved in the business, but typically we say 10 to 15 hours a week. Okay. And then as I had said, semi-absentee can grow into owner-operator can grow into semi-absentee after a few years, but it depends on the franchisor. And these are things that we look into, with questions that I help with the client on, you know, what to look at, what to consider, what to be asking the franchisor, and what to be asking the franchisees when they begin validating.
And that leads me to this next question about owning a franchise, if it can or should be a long-term strategy investment. I mean, we're dealing with an adult, a listener to this podcast, are going to be in their 50s, maybe their 60s, but they're maybe looking at this as, hey, I'm not going to put 40 years into this because I am 55. Can this be a good option as a franchise owner to look at it as, hey, 10, 15 years, and then I'm out?
Right. And it can. And if that's, and you know, if that's one of their goals that we figure out during the process in the beginning, then we can look at franchise systems that have other franchisees that have looked at this as an investment opportunity. There's a reputation along the way with the franchisor of being able to do that for franchisees, and it's provided them the income as an asset as well, and the income that comes in from it for them to have that option. Most franchise agreements are 10 years. Some may be 15, very few are 20, but I would say 90% of them are a 10-year with additional year options thereafter for a fee. So what some people will do, they might buy a new franchise that they see is growing, and then they could sell it after 5 years, or they could, you know, keep going on with it if 10 years if it's bringing in the income that they want. Another investment strategy is to buy as a semi-absentee into different industries. So, you know, sometimes to think about it is you might want to get into different industries. You might have a senior care and you might have a disaster recovery. Neither one really has seasonalities, but you're going to have different ebbs and flows of the business. So you're feeling ebbs and flows less traumatically because you have income coming in from two different industries. So there's different long-term strategies on the industries you buy into, how many businesses you want to do. So another long-term strategy would be how many units do you want to own? What sort of income, additional income or regular income do you want to bring in? And then do you plan on selling the business? So if this is something you're going to grow and then sell, that's another thing to look at. Resales are a nice option too. I do have a resale section on my website because, you know, for varying reasons, usually, unfortunately, health and divorce are the top two reasons why someone puts a franchise for sale. And those are nice options to get into, especially with what's happening in our world right now. Unfortunately, people are using this as a time that, you know, they're 65, they're going to sell. They're going to get out because they're noticing they're getting offers from people that want to get into a profitable business that has a proven track record. SBA is wanting to fund that, especially with someone who has business skills and experience in their career, and they come into an immediately profitable business. So there's different strategies for that long-term asset to have.
Well, I never realized that owning a franchise was so flexible. Quite frankly, I mean, I think hopefully that puts some light in regards to looking at this opportunity, especially if you want to work for yourself, you're tired of working for someone else, or maybe you got laid off or, you know, were let go because of any situation, whether you're walking out of a pandemic or not. But I think this has laid out some really nice options and the flexibility of what can be done, especially if you're working with somebody that's setting up the date and helping the dating process, like what you're doing.
Right.
When you're going through the exploratory process, what are some reasons that you're seeing that someone maybe drops out beyond the franchisor saying, no, I don't think that would be a good fit for what I have. But what are some other maybe reasons that this may not be a good fit?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, that's a question most people don't think about. But I see people, personally, I see people drop out because owning the business is more than they thought. Not necessarily financially, but the time it's going to take. And that's a reality that you need to ask yourself. How much time can I invest into this business if I'm still going to be working? You know, like any business, it's going to take time to get off the ground. Even though it's a franchise system and it's a proven business model, you still have to put a lot of work in the 6 to 12 months. And if you have that to put in, then that's great. So once they're talking to franchisors and realizing how much time this is going to take, sometimes they don't want to put that in right now. They know some projects upcoming at work and they need to, you know, drop out of the investigation. As I had mentioned before, sometimes health issues, sometimes there's a family matter. Those definitely come up and people need to put it on hold. And then sometimes people just, they change their mind. You know, hey, I thought I wanted to work for myself. I was really mad at my boss that day, but things have gotten better. It's not as bad at work. And then so sort of that grass is always greener idea wears off and they just, you know, go back to what they deem as comfortable. And then sometimes I hear from them again in a year or two.
I was going to say, so you're a very patient person, aren't you? When it comes to this.
Well, you know, really at the end of the day, you have to be, because I want people to understand what they're getting into. You know, I'm very transparent about what they're getting into. I keep trying to tell them not to make sure that this is what they want.
Well, that's good. Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, because there is there's a whole bag full of reality with this that is totally different than owning your own business, which is its own bag of worries. But at the same time, there are some security measures to help out to make sure this franchise that you are awarded will work as long as you put the work into it too.
Absolutely. Well, like anything, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. What is the best way to contact you? I know you've got the website, but at the same time, I know there are probably some other options of maybe contacting you directly if one of our listeners has an interest to do that.
Sure. The website, as you mentioned, it's thefranchiseeducator.com. On there, you will see my email, which is Talanda, T-E-L-A-N-D-A, at thefranchiseeducator.com. And yes, I do have an 800 number, 1-800-361-8292. So any one of those three ways, but the website will give you the rest of the contact information more directly.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being a guest. This has really shown a lot of light, for me at least, on I can at least talk a little bit more better about franchise ownership. And if I ever run into anyone that is interested in it, I know I can just talk a little bit about it, but obviously I'm going to shoot them your way.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who wants to even consider it, casual conversations are the best way that I like to talk to people, because there's nothing on the line. I think one of the big things is people don't understand is when to speak with me or when to speak with the consultant. They try to do a lot of work, front end work on their end. But, you know, the best time to start working with a consultant or myself is at the very beginning when you're starting to consider it, because, you know, then we can ask you some of the challenging questions. We can really see why you're doing this and maybe steer you away from franchise ownership. It may not be right for you right now. And then if it is right for you, we can do a lot of that legwork for you. So we can help you with that due diligence and that research.
Yeah, I would see working with somebody one-on-one like you versus researching it on the internet. And I know that's going to be the first place everyone's going to go is Google up how to buy a franchise. I mean, and there's a lot of information out there, and just like anything else, there's a lot of bad information out there too that may sway you the wrong way. And that's where contacting you makes sense. Yeah. You know,
well, and you had just mentioned the internet. So I wanted to give your listeners a little bit of advice. If anybody wants it, on the internet, there are places out there where you can start looking at franchises. They're called lead portals. And then they will capture your information. It will tell you, oh, to own XYZ franchise, it's $45,000. Well, what they're not telling you is that that's just the franchise fee. But it certainly makes it, the way that it's contextually worded is that that's the all in, and it's not. So then people think, oh, I'll just invest $45,000 to this franchise I've heard of. That's all it is. And then they enter in their information, and then it opens Pandora's box for many people to call them. Their name has now just been sold to many people like myself, and they will get emails and texts and phone calls, and they will wish they had never done that. So if you want to save yourself that hassle, contacting us, certainly, you know, we'll save you from that. We'll do the same thing that, putting your name into those websites will do. And also working with the consultant will put you at the top of the list with the franchisor. So if you go directly to the franchisor site and learn about their business, that's great. If you enter your information under their franchise section, they may or may not get back to you. They're getting thousands and thousands of requests, and they don't know if you're serious. They don't know if you're mad at your boss for the day. They don't know if you have two pennies or 200,000 pennies. They have no idea. So working with a consultant, they know that you're vetted. They know that you've been working very closely with us on your goals. And so when we make that introduction, you go to the top of the line.
Wow. Talk about leaving the best for last. That's great advice.
I know,
wow.
I kind of
did,
didn't I? Wow, and then here's the most important question. I bet people listening right now are like, okay, but how is she paid? How is she paid? We are paid very similar to like a realtor, so that we have contracts with over 300 franchisors. We are paid a percentage if a franchise is signed. So, you know, some people have asked me, well, then that puts you in the pocket of the franchisor. And what I like to say is, yeah, but if I send them a bunch of leads that aren't good, I'm going to destroy that relationship with the franchisor. So, you know, working with both parties, very transparent and honestly is my goal, because that's just who I am. And having been in this industry, I've seen too many things go awry. So, whether you work with a consultant or you go directly to the franchisor, you're not paying anything extra. It's actually a little more out of the franchisor's pocket, but it's worth it to them because they have more of a quality vetted candidate at the top of their line than thousands of people clicking on their internet.
Super. Yeah. I think you set that up really, really well early on that you're working for both. But you've got to keep your reputation for both as well too, that you're the go-to. So yeah, it's important to work with both sides of it. Otherwise, no one's happy in the long run, and Talenda has to find something else to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Taking short term will only get you in trouble.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I think you covered a lot of ground on owning a franchise, as well as understanding the importance of going with a consultant, with somebody like you, to at least start the process, give you a call, email, and see if there's a match in regards to if they're comfortable working with you as well too, and kind of walk through the process, that it's not a, you're going to push them into something so you can get the sale. And I think that's a comfort level that everybody needs to know exists. So that's great.
Absolutely. Very important.
Good. Well, thanks again. I appreciate it.